Well, good morning again, everybody. I'm Jeff, one of the pastors on the team, and I'm super excited about being with you. I love being in the Word today. Ben's in Chicago at a conference, and he texted me this morning early and just said, I'm so stoked you get to be with our people today. And I'm like, I know, you're in Chicago. We're in this series called The Sacred Gathering, man. I hope it's been impactful for you. We're looking at the things that we do and why we do it. We're looking at what we do on these Sunday mornings when we come in, and I even hope the title for you is a helpful framing for you as you get up in the morning, as you figure out, are we going to go? Are we going to go to church? Are we going to get in the car? What are we going to do? Are we going to turn on the YouTube, those of you online, like you're making this choice to say, wow, this is a sacred gathering, and we sort of started to parse the things that we do during church to help you get a view of why this is so sacred and how we can maximize it, how we can lean into it and know, oh, this is why they do what they do. And this is why we do what we do. And so we talked about the announcements and the couch time. We talked about worship music. We talked about just the idea of gathering together. And this morning, we're going to talk a bit about the Word of God. And so my sermon title is The Word of God to His People. This is about the sermon time. This is about this time that we do this sermon. We get up in front of you, and one of the pastors has got a message prepared, and we have the Word of God in front of us, and that's what we preach, is the Word of God. Have you noticed that? And so I think a few Sundays ago, I was like, yeah, can you tell our churches about Jesus? And now I'm like, and can you tell our churches about God's Word? Like, that's what we do when we get up and do this. We preach and we study the Bible, and churches have done this from the beginning. In fact, a few Sundays ago in Acts chapter 2, I preached from that text. And one of the things that it describes when the church, when the Holy Spirit came on, when Jesus ascended, Holy Spirit came, the church started gathering. Now it's Spirit-filled believers, the presence of Jesus in their midst. What did they do? It says it starts in their description of what they did in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer and to the, and they did all these other things. But listen, they devoted themselves to knowing the truth from God's Word. So that's what the church has always done. That's why the sermon is this iconic thing. It's this stereotypical thing. I have this newspaper article cut out in a file, but that might date me, but it is in a file. And it's a guy, some sweet, dear old pastor who was in some small town in Iowa where the whatever single factory was in that town went away like 15 years ago. And so it just was one of those ghost towns, and people one by one started leaving town. But he had a little parsonage in the back of his church. He lived there, and he would have church every Sunday, and zero people would attend. I mean, it was just a sign of the times, right, in this rural area. But the interesting thing about it was he was like, yeah, but I still get up and prepare a message. And then he would preach to an empty room. Now, I know that sounds kind of sad, but I kind of like the idea where he's like, oh, yeah, no, it's Sunday morning, and so the church will be open, and we're going to study God's Word. And he's like, that, even if it's just me, he's like, I'm getting uplifted by the whole experience. But the church has done this forever. And what I want to do this morning, you guys, together, is I'm going to come down there and walk around, and we're going to study together, because I want us to be in this together, because I want to highlight, listen, I shouldn't just say it out loud because it's not as clever that way, but I want to demonstrate just in a visceral way for you that when we come to this sacred gathering and we open God's Word in this sermon time, it's not about us trying, hopefully, to keep your attention for 30 minutes, 34, if you're Pastor Jeff. And it's not just about trying to entertain you. It's not trying to interest you. It's not trying to be like, do you love God? Do you love God? It's about you in the sacred moment looking at God's Word and asking Him, what do you have for me? And so every person should be meaningfully involved in that moment, not just the pastor doing the work that he did, the homework that he did all week, and now he's going to regurgitate it at you. So I'm going to come down there, and what I want you to do, if you'll indulge me, would you grab a Bible from the front? Would everybody grab a Bible? And it's part of the symbolic thing. And so if you're in the front row, the ones guys behind you can hand you one. There may not be Bibles in every row. Maybe you brought your Bible. If you brought a paper Bible to church today, like you brought your Bible to church today, I just want to affirm you. I just want to love that idea. Did you really? I literally was going to say, if you brought your paper Bible, you're probably like 70 years old, but Parker's like 15. So Sal, what are you? 17, sorry. So there we go. She's got her Bible. That's so great because it's so, there's something about being able to turn the pages that your brain's actually, we learned to read that way. And so now we're reading on our phones and it's actually messing with our comprehension. And so this is not a bad idea. Some of you are like, I don't have a Bible. You give away these really cool Bibles, Jeff, these Bibles with color on every page, these study Bibles. And I've never, ever been the person who raised their hand and got one. Are you in this room right now who would love this Bible? Oh, I'm so stoked to give you that. Isn't that fun? Yeah. Yeah, this is the best part of your week. I guarantee it, that Bible right there. And so you have a Bible, you're holding the Bible in front of you. And what this is, you guys, I mean, you know, I just did 3 weeks on what the Bible is, so we're not going to go down that road. But what you have in front of you is God's word to you. And this is the key starting point for us when we're like, what's this sacred gathering that we do and why are we studying the Bible? This is the key starting point that he's a saving God who longs to communicate with his people. That's what you have in front of you, and that's what's happening, is that God's longing to communicate with you. God wants to talk to you today. God wants to talk to you every time you open the Bible. Calvin, you're opening the Bible like 4 times a day. I'm your friend on the YouVersion. It's awesome. Do you have like an alarm set or?
No, just anytime I got open time.
Anytime he's got open time, he's scrolling YouVersion Bible app. That's awesome. But this is God who wants to speak to us. It's so good. Listen, friends, he's a God who speaks. He is a God who speaks. I mean, that alone should be a great takeaway for our sermon time today, that in this sacred gathering, we're going to open God's word because he's a God who wants to talk to us, a God who speaks to us. One of the really significant verses in scripture that you may know of is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Look at it here. In fact, Phil Buckley, I want you to stand up and I want you to read this scripture from the screen to everybody really loud, okay?
Okay. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Thank you, Phil. Give Phil some love for that, by the way. So, that's a symbol of us being meaningfully engaged in the word every time we're here. But look at that verse. What jumps out to you? This is a God who speaks. What jumps out to you? A couple people, just what jumps out to you when you see that text? Want to hear? We're God's servants, okay? Right. So God's servants are in his word. Thanks, Diane. Somebody else. What do you? Yeah, Mia. The Mia just said, the word of God equips us to go through life or go through a difficult world. That's exactly right. It gives you what you need. Equipping is that word that jumped out for you. This is all about this God who speaks, you guys. This is a God who wants to talk to us. And to their point and to the stuff on this screen here, it, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, that he's wanting to communicate some stuff. He's wanting us to know some stuff, and there's some stuff in here that he wants us to not forget. Mike Shimon has always said in the front of his Bible, he's got this verse written, or this reminder written that just says, these are the things God does not want me to forget. Isn't that great? Out of all the truth in the world, like this is stuff God wants to make sure that we have and we don't want to forget. So, here's the sacred gathering. We get together and you got a pastor who's got a sermon and we're like, okay, we're setting aside these 30 minutes. What are you supposed to do? What are we supposed to do with that time? And I wanted to frame a couple of encouragements to you about that around the way that you often hear me pray when I start my sermon. Have you noticed, have you been around consistently enough to hear when I do preach that I have the same kind of things that I say when I start the prayer? Anybody notice that? He says the same kind of stuff. And that's because I want for myself and for you this sacred moment to remember that this is what I want to study God's word in this way. And so my 3 encouragements to you are going to be rooted in the way that I often pray. And here's the first one. And you heard it this morning. Illuminate your word so that I might receive what I need to hear from you today. So what are you supposed to be doing in this sacred gathering? When we come to this sermon time, you're to be praying this prayer and being ready and asking God to illuminate his word so that you might receive what you need to hear from him today. Now, why would I pray that? And why would I want that for you? Somebody tell me your thoughts on that. Why would I want that for you? Why would we pray this?
These are the best words ever written, ever delivered, because they are from our Creator and our Savior.
These are the best words ever because they're from God. So we need to pay attention to what he's saying. Thanks, Jim. Anybody else? Why in particular this idea of illuminating the word so that we might receive what we need? Yeah, Shantae.
Well, I think that not only are you praying this for us, but you're also hoping that the Lord teaches you something new each week as well.
Yeah, well, that's true. I'm praying that because I want, yeah. And, you know, one of the things that, by the way, let's just exclude me because I'm not fishing for compliments, but is the preaching team in this church amazing? You guys are so spoiled. Yeah, what were we going to say? Everybody in this room, she said, is going through something different. Everybody, therefore, needs to hear something different from the Lord. And while the scriptures teach truth, right? And if you took my class and if you come to my one-on-one class that I'm going to teach, one of the things you'll learn is you don't get to just decide whatever the Bible means. You actually do the hard work to figure out what it does mean. You don't get to decide what it means. You get to study it, know what it means. But the illumination of the Holy Spirit is for each person about what to do with it on that given day, on that given week. See, the interesting thing is, and we've said this before, and this is what I was going to say about our preaching team. When we study the passage, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to introduce you again to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. We've seen that verse so many times up on slides. I've preached on that verse so many times. But that the point is not going to be like, let me regurgitate the things that I've learned before. The point is, what's God's word for Marin Covenant Church on Sunday, January 25th, 2026? That's what this is about. So let's illuminate what God has for us. That's so good. So remember, this is predicated on the fact that it's a God who wants to speak to us. And so we want to posture ourselves then to be able to receive and hear from him what it is we need. And that word illuminate, and you heard me pray it earlier in the gathering, that's about Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who inspired the word now illuminates it and speaks on that day for the word you need from that text. You ever have that experience? Anybody got a testimony of being in church, being, that's exactly what I needed to hear? Raise your hand if you've ever had that experience. Yeah. And so that's the illumination of the word coming out for you. Now, I heard an illustration recently about saying, like, you know when you go to the doctor and you're like, okay, well, this is me. I go to the doctor and I have a whole list, right? So my back still hurts here and blah, 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 and I got all this and I got all that. And you go to the doctor, and if you went to the doctor and all you did was say, hey, here's the list of all the things that are paining me, scaring me, concerns for me, irritations for me. You listed them all. And then at the end of that rant, you went, well, thanks for your time. And you left. Right? We come to God's word ready to receive what God has for us when we come to him with all of our laments and our concerns and our fears and our brokenness. We wait to hear what God will then speak back to us. So what does he want to say? Let me ask you that. If God wants to illuminate a word for us to hear, what kinds of things will God say to us? What does he talk about in the word that will be a word for you? What does he want to say? What are some things he'll want to cover in sermons so that you might hear?
He loves us.
That he loves us. So basic theological foundations, like he loves you. Yeah.
He reveals his true nature and therefore our true nature.
He reveals his true nature and our true nature. Those are two really important ones. Yeah. What else is he going to speak? He's a God who wants to speak. Yeah, Pilar.
That he's faithful.
That he's faithful. So about his character, who he is. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Greg.
He often offers hope.
He offers hope. Oh my gosh, you guys are nailing my list. I mean, just put them all up there, would you? And show the ones that I brainstormed. This is about who he is. This is about the human condition. This is about salvation, how to walk with Jesus, what's sin and what's righteousness. And it's our hope in him. And ultimately, our hope in the coming kingdom. These are the things that he speaks about in the word. And so this is a God who speaks. This is a God who wants to talk to us about this. And the reason why I wanted to ask you and have you list them up there, by the way, let me do one more pitch for 101. I start Wednesday night teaching a three-week Christianity 101 class. We're going to go through some of these things so that you're like, what does Christianity teach about that stuff? It's hard for me to understand the Jesus, like, who's Jesus again, and how is he God, and what was the cross about, and how is somebody learn to walk with God, like, how, that's what 101 is about. So if you want to connect the dots about what Christianity believes, and then what we do, we're supposed to be doing with that, rather than trying to piece together from all the sermons a whole picture of Christianity, that'd be a great class for you. I'd love to have you. Starts Wednesday night for 3 weeks. But he speaks about all these things, you guys, and to me, his point, so that we're equipped for life. These are the things we need to know to be equipped for life. And if you see the 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse again, throw that up there for me if you would, Kelly. It's God speaks his word so that we would receive teaching where we need some knowledge about what's true about him and all these other things. There's some rebuking in there, which is when we're in error, and not in error like making a mistake, but like we're like being belligerent with God. The word of God will be like, yo, bro. Anybody ever had the Lord speak in his word and say, yo, bro? Like, it's, that's the only sentence the Holy Spirit needs to say. There's a rebuke in there. There's like a, you know what's going on here. And there's a correcting, which is that's when we actually are in error. We're like, I'm thinking that this is true. And the Lord's like, actually, that's not true. And then there's a training in how to live for him, training in righteousness. All that is so God's people, his servants, as Diane said, have everything they need to do life. So this is a God who speaks, and this is a God who wants to illuminate for you some version of correction or training or encouragement. And you hear me always pray, Lord, if there's some encouragement I need, you know I need courage to bring it. If there's some correction, like I do not want to walk in ignorance. If there's some rebuke I need, like I don't want to stay away from you if I need to be interrupted in this spiral of selfishness, etc. So this is what God will speak to us all about. So we need to be in it or we're going to miss the truth that he illuminates for us. Therefore, we have to posture ourselves to be receptive. What are you supposed to do in this sacred gathering? You're going to be like, Lord, what are you going to say to me? Like, I want to receive, illuminate it for me. Look at this verse in 2 Timothy 2, chapter earlier. Let's see. Need somebody. David Christensen, will you stand up and read this verse for me?
Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth.
Thank you. Give David some love. So we do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. There's this idea of we need to be people of God's word who are like, let me at it. Come speak to me about it. I'm going to correctly receive it. I'm going to walk in it, and I'm going to do my best to do that. One more verse about this idea of knowing what this, why would God speak? Because he equips us, and he speaks what is most true and what we need for life. One more verse, John chapter 8. I want you to see that. Chad, I want you to stand up and read that for everybody. You notice I'm picking all the men. I just love the men speaking God's word.
To the Jews who had believed in Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Thank you. Love the Chad. This sacred gathering is about us stopping and gathering together and reminding ourselves what is most true about God, about human beings, about salvation, about sin and righteousness and hope and who God is. Like, this is what we do. We gather and we need those things to be equipped for what life is all about, and so that we would know what was most true, because this scripture teaches what Jesus said. Truth does what? It sets us free, and primarily it sets us free from the lostness of not knowing what is true. And so we pay attention and we listen. Now, by the way, It's a little self-serving for me to say this, but you can read God's word at home all by yourself, and you should every single day. And if you do, join the YouVersion app and be my friend. But there's something that happens when the sacred gathering, where he said, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but do so all the more as you see the day approaching. You need to be together, encouraging one another. That's from Hebrews. Get together. There's something that happens here where when God's word gets illuminated, there's a corporate word for us all and then individual words within that to each of us. So it's, we often pray when we get together, illuminate your word that I might receive what I need to hear from you today. Friends, if you're looking for life and what is true and freedom and how it's supposed to work, then we posture ourselves to listen to God's word when we're together. Second, we often pray, don't let me leave here the same as I came. Why would we pray that? Somebody tell me, why would we would pray that? Yeah,
because
Nancy.
As disciples, we're supposed to be continually renewing our minds.
Okay, as disciples, as followers of Christ, we're to be continually renewing our minds. We're not going to just stay where we are. Yeah. Good. Why else? Anybody else have a thought? Kelly.
It's actually be transformed, which seems like a bigger correction.
It's to be transformed. There's a bigger thing happening, right? It's not just a reminder of truth. It's also actually some change. That's exactly right. That's actually what's happening there. It is, and we're changed. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind, as Nancy said. That change is more than just knowing truth. There's power in God's word to actually transform you. Did you know that that's what the Bible teaches about Scripture? Well, and that makes sense, right? Because it's the Holy Spirit who inspired it, the Holy Spirit who's illuminating it. We're dealing with what's most true. We're putting ourselves before the God of heaven who can, nothing is too hard for him. And now we're like, I want your way. I want your truth. Of course, we're going to be transformed by that. And we literally, you ready? I'm gonna use a word, you should be offended by this. It's like magic. It's like something that you can't explain will happen if you get in God's word. You start to become a different person. I had to pull my stuff together in the front row when we're in that worship song about how God has continued to come and met us and changed us. I'm like, yes, that is my hope. The verse inside my Bible is, if your word had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Psalm 119, 92. My life has changed because I've encountered God and his word. So we pray, don't let me leave here the same as I came. I need to be changed by God's word. There's so many great verses. Look at this verse in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. Luke, would you stand and read that passage to us, please?
As the rain and the snow come down from the heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so that my word goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
Thank you, Luke. Appreciate that. The scripture's like it's like rain and snow that comes out of heaven. It does not return to the earth, to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish so that it yields fruit, seed for the sower, bread for the eater. He goes, so it is my, like, that's what my word does. It goes out from my mouth and will not return to me empty. And look at that last phrase, but it accomplishes that, what I desire, and will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now listen, this is a promise from God to say that when you're in God's word, it will have its intended effect in you. It doesn't have no effect. And this is the call to be like, then let's get in God's word and allow his word to water, to bring fruit, to do what it needs to do in my life. That Jesus had a similar, there's a similar message in Jesus's prayer for his disciples in John 17. Look at this, John 17, 15 to 17. Calvin, will you stand up and read that for me?
My prayer prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth.
Jesus is like, listen, we're not going to pull you out of the world until the world's all done and the kingdom comes in its fullness. But he goes, but you're going to be protected from the evil one, and talks about we're not of the world. But look at that last phrase, sanctify them. He's praying for the disciples. This is what Jesus' prayer to the Father for you. He's like, Father, make them holy, change them, transform them. That's what sanctify means. Make them more and more who you design them to be. That's sanctify them. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. This is where we get sanctified, is by his word. So this is all about our willingness to actually hear God's word and be transformed by it. So we pray, don't let me leave here the same as I came. So this is asking, Holy Spirit, transform me by what is most true. What are you supposed to do in the sacred gathering? You're supposed to be praying, Holy Spirit, illuminate this word that I can receive what you have for me today, and then change me by it. I hope you're that meaningfully, actively engaged in hearing the word and processing it that way. And then the third thing that you often hear us pray is, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. This comes from a passage, that phraseology I got from a passage in 1 Samuel 3. And this is all about actually our willingness to listen and obey, to do something with it. 1 Samuel 3, look at this couple of verses. And this is a really cool story. This is a story where Samuel is serving Eli and the priest, and Samuel keeps hearing his name being called. And so he goes into Eli, he's like, yeah, what do you want? He's like, I didn't call you. So he goes and he lays down again. And then he hears this, Samuel! And he goes, what? Comes in, he's like, what? Eli, what? And he's like, no, I didn't call you. Like, that's not me. And then the third time, and then it goes on. So anyway, finally, so Eli tells Samuel, go lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In other words, God's trying to get your attention. So just consider, listen, what do you do in the sacred gathering? Just consider the possibility that Ben's not talking to you. Shelly's not talking to you. Jeff didn't have a good quote for you. Consider the possibility that it's the Lord who's speaking to you and trying to get your attention. And so we say to him in this context, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Ben, I'm going to have you guys come up. Listen, this key starting point that we had was that this is a God, a saving God, who longs to communicate with his people. He's wanting to talk to us. So we gather together at a sacred gathering. We open God's word, this sermon time that we do. We're believing that he's a God who wants to speak to us. But here's a key. This is the key starting point, but here's the key ending point. The key ending point is we're a saved people who long to hear from our God. Friends, if there's anything that I can encourage you to do that I want you to remember about this time this morning right now, is that when you come into this sacred gathering, as you get out of bed, as you prepare your heart, as you drive down here, as you drive through Starbucks and bring me an Americano with cream, if you walk in this room, if there's anything I want to inspire you to, it's this thought that you would be somebody who just says, I want to hear from you. God, the God who wants to speak. I want to hear from you. And we long to hear, friends. Two reasons. We long to hear because we know we're made for this. We long to hear because his word, and this, I don't have it on the screen, but from Psalm chapter 1, person who delights in the law of the Lord is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf, you know it, does not wither. Like, we know we need his truth, and we need to be planted deep in the truth of God. That's why we long to hear. And then also, I think we long to hear because he knows what we need way more than we do. we're lost to figure out how to do life on our own. We're lost to figure out how to do life on our own. And we're like, Lord, we need your word. We need you to speak. Your stuff that is beyond us. Your word is a light into my feet and a lamp into my feet and a light into my path. Like how can a young man keep his way pure by living according to your word? I've hidden your word in my heart that I might know how to not sin against you. Like those are all from Psalm 119. Like we know instinctively that we need him to speak to us because we can't do it without his truth. And the last verse I just want to encourage you with is this idea that a friend sent me earlier in the week from Luke chapter 5. When Jesus had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out in the deep, let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. And then this word, Peter says, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. I don't understand what you're saying to me. I don't understand how that's going to work. I don't understand how that will bring life, but I understand that you understand more than me. And so nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. At your word, I'll obey. And so we're people who in this sacred time come to God's word to say, speak to us. We need your word because we need your way. We need your truth. And I'll be that person who will receive it, internalize it, and obey. So it's what we do. We preach God's word. And why we do it? Because the truth sets us free. And what we hope you're going to do with this is that you'll receive it, hear God speak, and walk in obedience in response to it. I can't do anything about that. That's up to you. May God grant us his grace when we come to his word as his people every time we're together. Let's stand and worship together.